32. Genesis 32. Paper stuck together. Didn't know how good these notes were. Must be special if the devil's fighting me on them. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. You glad you're here? All right, let's stand up. If you have a King James Bible, read along with us. If you don't have a King James, just follow along with us, all right? All right, we're going to read chapter 32 up to the 12th verse. I'll read the first verse, then you read the second, and so on, and we'll go that way. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him.
And when Jacob saw him, he said, "This is the last host." And he called the name of that place.
And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Let's pray. Father, help us as we study your word this day. Give me a freedom and an ease. And Lord, may I teach well. May it be a blessing. May it touch someone's heart and life. Change us. Lord, we need your help all the time.
Amen.
And we need you in this service. If there's a lost soul in the sound of my voice, I pray you'd convict that soul, draw them to yourself, and save them. Bless all the Christians. Draw all of us closer to you than what we walk.
Amen.
Forgive us where we failed you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Up to this point, personally, me, I like Esau better than Jacob. My personal thing. The one thing that saves Jacob is he wanted the spiritual truth. Now, he's a scoundrel. His name is supplanter. His name is heel catcher. And what it means, he's going around and trying to cheat people, and he's cheating people in his own family. Esau has every right to hate him. He went in there and stole from him and set himself up. Then he goes to Laban, which was a relative marries his daughters, and he and Laban are trying to cheat each other back and forth, you know. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. Look back at chapter 31, verse 40. No, 41. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. Now this is Jacob speaking to Laban. Thus I have been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. This is one schemer going against another schemer. And notice what he says in verse 42. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters. These children are my children. These cattle are my cattle. And all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters and unto their children which they have born? I want you to notice, especially this part, the thinking of Laban. Now, Laban's mad. Now, he claims to be a worshiper of the same God of Abraham. And yet, he's got golden idols. And one of his daughters, Rachel, is going to steal those idols. And she has, and carried them off. And that's what he was looking for. What in the world is a guy that worships the living God doing worrying about his idols? Well, you got to remember, this is primitive. This is way, way back in the history of man. And I'm not sure they knew a whole lot of things. I'm not sure they made the right kind of decisions. And certainly we cannot judge them from our perspective. The reason why is because we have an awful lot of light they didn't have. They did not have Genesis. They didn't have Exodus. They didn't have any of the Old Testaments. And bless your heart, they didn't have a New Testament. Because once you get to the New Testament, it just opens up the old. It shows the purposes of the old. And it changes some things in the old and brings out what Christ brings in this great salvation. And the Bible tells us that the law was glorious. And it is. Read the Ten Commandments. What a law. It's a tremendous law. I cannot read the Ten Commandments without getting convicted. Yeah, I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. Can you? Well, I think you're fooling yourself. I think you're not being real honest with yourself. You read the Ten Commandments and it doesn't prick your heart to say, I failed here, I failed here, and I failed here. Now, what we have is two men, both of them want to be rich. Now, one of them has been a schemer, and I have not seen many spiritual things in him from his birth to this point. This chapter 32 is going to make Jacob a spiritual man. This is the change. Here he is, and what Laban comes to, because he says, Laban was mad at him. He had all his men with him, and he wanted to do him hurt. You know, he thought about it. Have you ever lain awake at night thinking about doing hurt to somebody that's done you bad? I have. And then I have to remind myself that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, as far as the book of Romans is concerned. I will repay. Can you trust God to repay? Can you trust Him to do it right? You sure can. And when you take the vengeance into your own hands, you're not trusting God to take care of the things. So, anyway, now, Laban is on a trip and he's got his men and he's chased him down. He's caught him. And the night before he catches up to him, if you want to look back in the chapter, look at verse 29 of chapter 31. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. That's what he's telling him. It's what Laban's telling Jacob. It's in the power of my hand to hurt you, boy. But, I love the buts in the Bible. The buts in the Bible are significant. Just like the word therefore. Therefore and wherefore. You need to study what went before because that's the conclusion that's going to come out of it. But, the God of your father spake unto me yesternight. See? God's walking down there and interfering and interceding. Saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. You better know what you say about Jacob. Are you a blessed man? Are you a man protected by the Holy Spirit of God? Now, I'm not telling you to be foolish or foolhardy or think that you're bulletproof and 10 feet tall. No, I'm not telling you that. You use discretion. You use wisdom. You treat everybody right. But bless your heart. God's watching over you. Amen. If God has a will for you, you can't die until you get that will done. There are no accidents with God. Amen. If you're alive today, God wanted you alive today. And now I'm not saying go stand in front of a train to try to test my theory. You might find out God will let you die early and get somebody else to do your work. But what he says here, he says, these daughters are my daughters. Isn't that the truth? That's my son, Bill. That's Amanda. She's my granddaughter. I got Jenny and Corey, and I got a bunch of great grandchildren. And they just keep coming. And you know what they are? They're my children. Oh, yeah. Isn't it something? How that family comes out and how you love that family and they're yours. Well, Laban has figured this out. God's put some wisdom in him. He's mad. He's running off. Somebody stole my idols. I think you did it. Well, his wife did. But the thing was, Jacob didn't. He wouldn't steal them. So Laban's mad, but he doesn't find anything. And so he gets chided by Esau. They've been at each other for 20 years. The very first wedding, Laban cheated Jacob. And then he got the two wives, and finally has the four wives and 11 sons. And one daughter. But when Laban comes up there and thinking about, do I beat this man up? Do I cut his leg off? Do I kill him and take all this cattle back? What he sees are his daughters. What he sees are his sons. He sees his grandchildren and he sees his family there and even the cattle that are there. They were his before. So these two guys have really been working on each other for 20 years. Now, Laban, then, they make a contract and they settle the thing. Now, when you come down, Laban rose up and kissed his daughters and kissed his sons and grandsons and whatever and went on back home after they've made their covenant. Now we get to the chapter that we're in today. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. You ever met an angel? You might have. You don't know. You just might have. And didn't know it. Has God ever blessed you? Has God ever stepped in on you into certain situations? Man, if he has, and you recognize that, that'll give you a great deal of confidence. Jacob's scared. He was scared of Laban. He's still scared. He's scared of Esau. Remember, Jacob was sort of the the mama's boy, and Esau was the hunter. And what kind of a guy can round up 400 soldiers to go with him? I mean, he ought to be scared. And sometimes if you've been cheating people, you ought to be scared too. Because you just never know when they'll come to collect. They'll come to say, look, you've done this and this and this. And I'm not going to leave it in the hands of the Lord. I'm going to take my vengeance out. An awful lot of people in the world do that. I think it takes a very wise man and a spiritual man to trust God to handle his problems that really rile him, really make him mad, really hurt him. And yet he can go and turn that over to God. To me, that's wisdom. Helped me a whole lot because I don't lose too much sleep. Now, I lose sleep. I think at nights. And sometimes I'm thinking about certain things and I won't get a good night's sleep. And some things would really bother me and I try to turn them over to the Lord so that I don't get so angry about them. And sometimes you can do it and sometimes you can't. Well, here he is. He's come on down here and he's now met the angels of God. And he knew them. Isn't that amazing? To me, that's a tremendous verse right there. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, into the country of Edom. Now, Jacob's a rich man now. He is men servants, women servants, money. He's got cattle and all sorts of different kinds of cattle. Sheep and oxen and camels and maybe horses. And no telling what. He's a rich man. Not as rich as Abraham. Maybe not as rich as his father Isaac. But he's a very, very rich man. Well, he takes some of these messengers. Now then he's got rid of Laban. He's taken care of him. That's settled. They've made an agreement, a contract, and they've raised a pile of stones to be a testimony to that. Now then he's turning back. Okay, now I'm heading home. And who's at home? Well, I got a great big hairy brother. He sounds tough. To me, Esau is one tough man. He sounds rough and tough to me. And I don't blame Jacob from fearing him. So he thinks about this and he says, what can I do? So he sends messengers. He picks out some faithful men. You head off out there ahead of me and you go to Seir. You go up there where you'll find Esau lives. And you tell him this message. Tell him that I've got a lot of goods. I'm a rich man. I left here with nothing. I come back with 4 wives, 11 sons, 1 daughter, and riches. I've got men servants and women servants, and I have cattle and sheep and oxen and camels and horses and whatever. I don't know what all he had. Wow. He sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother. Now, that's pretty smart. He's making a better decision than he's made in a lot of the times before. He didn't make a good decision when his mother told him to go cheat his father. He didn't make a good decision in some other things. In fact, he probably was drunk when he married Leah, so he didn't recognize that it was Leah instead of Rachel. But he has not made a bunch of good decisions. Now he fears Esau. And he had every right to fear Esau. So he decides, okay, I'm going to tell my brother that I'm coming. And he does. He sends off these messengers. He says, speak to him this way. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, verse 4, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my Lord. Notice what he called him. My Lord. that I may find grace in thy sight. Here's that brother that didn't care anything about spiritual things, but his daddy made some promises to him. Don't you have a blessing for me, Father? Didn't you reserve anything? Oh, yeah, he did. And when you read the blessing of Isaac on his son Esau, you notice how it says he's going to throw off this lordship over him that Jacob had and whatever. Well, here it is. Jacob is coming back, and he's going to meet his 20-year problem. And that's in the form of his brother, a great, big, tough guy who can mount 400 horsemen. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people to feed. I don't know how many days between them they had to go. But like an army, you know, an army doesn't go very far if it doesn't have food. One of the most important things about an army and what caused armies to fail, whipped Napoleon, it whipped Hitler, is these food lines, these supply lines where you can get your stuff up there. You got to have the cooks and you got to have the guys in supply. Because these guys are marching on their feet and they're going to have some shoes or they're going to have something else. They're going to have blankets and whatever. So I don't know how many days apart they were and how far Esau would have to come. But he sent the messengers out. The messengers came back, said, "We saw Esau. We presented this thing to him, and he's coming to meet you with 400 men with him." That'd scare me. I tell you what, I think I'd be praying. That's what he's going to do. One of the most beautiful prayers, I think the best prayer up to this point in Jacob's life. Jacob's probably 40, somewhere in that range. Probably left around 20. He spent 20 years there. He's about 40. He'd been a schemer and a planner and a cheat and a liar. You just don't see anything spiritual except he wants spiritual things as well as all the other stuff. And you know, most people aren't even worried about spiritual things. So that makes him a plus. That's a plus on his side. That all these years, even while he was doing this lying and cheating and scheming, back in his head, he did want the spiritual things. He did want the blessing of God. He did want to know the truth. He wanted to know God better. So at any rate, he said, "He's coming to you with 400 men. Okay? Now here's the schemer again. Look at verse 7. "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and camels into two bands, and said, 'If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape.'" Okay, what's the last thing he can do? Well, he can divide him up. He can put these wives with their children, with these herds, and let them take this trail. And he can take the other wives with their children and their herds and let them take a different trail or a different time. Hoping that if Esau comes in his bloodlust, he'll get some of them through. That's pretty wise. Pretty intelligent. Divide them up. You know, sometimes people, after they've done something really bad, they repent of it. They get sick of it. It turns their stomachs and turns their hearts. And so maybe some of them will get through. Now I want you to look at the prayer. I personally think this is the first real prayer that Jacob ever did. And by the way, I mean really trying to get right with God. By the way, I think you ought to learn this prayer. I think you ought to read it and think about it. Because a lot of us, we think the reason why we are blessed and have money or have a job or have health or whatever is because of us. But it's not. It's because of God. There are a lot of people that are sickly, weak, and they've got some terrible disease, or they're crippled up in some way. They didn't cause it. They didn't do it. Their parents didn't do it. It's just what they got in life. It's the deck of cards that was dealt to them. And man, I feel sorry for them. Billy tells a story, and I hate to tell other people's stories because I get them wrong, but there was a blind man in Mexico. And I value my eyes almost more than anything else. He was blind. And he got saved. And if I tell it right, if I don't tell it right, correct me. He thanked God that he was blind. He said he probably would have never gotten saved if he hadn't been blind. Is that right? Wow. How about the insight that is into God's will in your life? Okay, maybe you're not pretty. Maybe you don't need to be pretty. Maybe you need something else in your life. Maybe you're not strong. Well, I don't know what God's given you. I'm thankful he made me so handsome and strong and so rich. You may not have all that. But you ought to thank God for whatever you are, because whatever you are, God made you that for a purpose. Now, I can't answer. Somebody says, what is the purpose for my life? I don't have a clue. I have a hard time figuring it out for myself. And I don't know a whole lot of times just what God wants to do. I have some general things from the Word of God, and sometimes some of them become very personal to me, so that they're mine. And yet, when you think about it, God Almighty has a plan. And His plans are a whole lot bigger than ours. I look at Job, and I would think, and I tell myself over and over again, I would not want to have been Job. He suffered greatly, lost 10 children. He got 10 children back, but they were different children. He didn't get them resurrected. He and that old wife had 10 more. What is God's purpose? Well, Job has got to have a high place in heaven, as far as I'm concerned, for what he went through and his faithfulness. His calling out to God and showing that he loved God. Wow. Tremendous, tremendous book. And I think maybe the first book ever written in the Bible. But at any rate, go back to this. Let's look at this prayer, beginning at verse 9. Excuse me, I have a hard time keeping my throat clear. Verse 9. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, and look at this third part. The Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Now, he's been praying. God has come to him. He's had a vision. He's had a dream. And God has said, it's time for you to go. Go back to your homeland. I'm going to bless you. And he gave him the promise of Abraham. Your seed is going to be like the sand. Your seed's going to be like the stars. Wow. So how can it be that Esau will wipe us all out? Well, no, he's doing everything he can do. And that's smart. But then he's praying. Look at that prayer. He quotes God's promise to him. He's got the right God. God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. Now the God of Jacob. But look at verse 10. You might ought to memorize this first sentence. Put it in your heart. And every time you pray, begin your prayers with it. Look at it. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Do you see that? Do you feel that? You ought to feel that. That ought to be the way you approach God. We have so many things. We've got all these electronic concordances today, and you can get all the commentaries electronically on your computer. And we just got a tremendous mass of information. Some of it's good, real good. Some of it's absolutely rotten. You got to learn how to pick and choose. You got to get your doctrine straight. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. I feel that. Why me? In that crowd I ran with back when I was young, why me? Did I have a grandmother praying for me? Did I have a father and mother praying for me? Did I have a Sunday school teacher praying for me? I don't know. I wonder if I hadn't joined the Air Force and still hung around my buddies, would I have gotten saved and surrendered to preach? I don't know. But I might not. You know what I got to thank God for? Mercy. Truth. I have the greatest truth anybody can possess. I feel absolutely rich. I know I got to be wrong somewhere, but I don't know where it is. Because when I found myself wrong, I changed. I'm not like I started out. And I made this book my master, my law, my blessing. And I want to do what the book says. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Wow, what a blessing. I come down as an old man and I am blessed. I am just truly, richly blessed. And I don't know why I deserve that. I don't deserve that. I'm not worthy. But I've got some truth that a whole lot of fellas don't have. I've taught you some things that a lot of churches in this town don't even know. The preachers don't even know it. You sang that 44 this morning, Danny. That's one of the greatest hymns ever penned. Charles Wesley, a Methodist preacher in the 1700s, wrote that hymn. There's real doctrine in that thing. It's not one of these 7-11 songs, seven words repeated 11 times in a row. It's a hymn with doctrine and blessing and truth. Compare these little ditties that they're doing all the time now. Well, that may be why we don't have more here. But I tell you what, I'm not going to trade John Wesley's hymn number 44 for any 10 or 20 of the others. He's got truth. Where did you get such truth? When I first got in trouble for witnessing and preaching, I thought I was going to jail because I disobeyed the order of an officer in the military. They can shoot you for that. They can sure put you in jail for it. And God took me out of that. I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it, but He did it. And you know what that did? That gave me some confidence. Wow. God heard my prayer. God paid attention to a little old peon in the Air Force and delivered me, marvelously delivered me, and gave me, I never worked another Sunday in the whole time I was in the military. The man had ordered me not to go to church. And that was a rule he could not enforce. So it was a bad law, bad ruling by an officer. But still, I disobeyed him. You don't disobey officers in the military. It's just not done, or you'd lose all control of everything that you've got. They've got to have obedience. They got my obedience by letting me pick up rocks on one field and carry them all day long to another field. And the next day go out to that other field and carry the rocks back where I got them in the first place. What were they doing? Breaking my will. Breaking my spirit. Making me obey. Blindly obey. Oh, I tell you what. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. Now I'm become two bands. That's a prayer. It's a prayer. It's something you ought to really study and think about after I'm going on to the next chapter and going on. You ought to mark that in your Bible. It ought to stand out every time you turn that page so that you could think about it again. We need to keep reminding ourselves because we are so forgetful. We are so attention prone to get to anything besides something spiritual or truthful or real. Now let's see what else he prays. Look at verse 11. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. Okay. Now he's got it down where the rubber meets the road. What's his problem? He's meeting a great, big, tough, hairy brother and 400 men with him. He better be praying. Would that drive you to prayer? It would me. It would me. I'm telling you the truth. I love my children. My children were one of the greatest blessings God's given me. And they're not all perfect and they're sinners and whatever. You can find fault with all of them. I could improve every one of them if they just listen to me. But I thank God. You know, you think about, I'd like to protect them. Well, you can protect them till they get a car. Then you don't have a shot, man. You can protect them till they start going out on dates. And then, you know what I did? I prayed. I prayed. I didn't think I had any other. I talked to them all the time. I told them what to get out of, what not to get into, and to get up and come on home. And some old boy is dating my daughter. I said, if that party you're going to, if they pull out beer or liquor or drugs or anything like that, you get my daughter out. And if you don't, I'm coming after you. I prayed. And I had a hard time going to sleep when one of my kids is out on the town. San Antonio is a tough town. There are certain places you don't want to go at night. I don't want to go at night, at least. You may go, you may live there, I don't know. But there are certain places I don't want to go at night. You want to get shot? Go dancing at the bars. You got a much better chance of getting shot than you have coming to church. I know we had a bunch of killings, and we got a bunch of cowards that want to go someplace where they don't think anybody's got a gun to resist them. Well, you might ought to duck, because I don't know how many of these people have guns in their purses and on their leg or in their backpack or whatever. And if you don't have one, just duck. That's probably your best shot. But a fella might be robbing the wrong place if he came here. Well, Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. He knew what he was coming back into. He's been in trouble for the last 20 years. He'd been in trouble. He couldn't come back home to his dad and his mama because of Esau. Esau had sworn to kill him. And I can understand it. And Laban was not the easiest guy in the world to get along with. Deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. Look at verse 19. Now here's something you can do, and it's a very good type of prayer. The Psalms are full of it. The Psalms are full of it. Once you notice it, it will bless your heart. Look what he's saying. And thou saidst, God, here's what you said, God. I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Well, there's a promise. He's gotten that promise. Remember when he left Esau, he came to this one place, Bethel, and the angels of God were going up and down a ladder. He said, this is the house of God. Now, if this God, it sounds real primitive, if this God will protect me and feed me and clothe me and bring me back safely, he'll be my God. That's pretty shallow. But it is a commitment. It is a commitment to the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And he became the God of Jacob. Now he's come back to that same area. And he's going to meet Esau there. And he's afraid. And said, God, you said. That's what the Psalms do all the time. I know it may sound a little foolish to some of you and a waste of time. I don't think it is. Pray the Word of God back to God. Pray the Word of God back to God. Now that's what he's doing. He didn't have a Bible. But he remembered what God said to him. God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your children as the sand of the sea. All the world's going to be blessed in you. Your seed. Wow. Now he's quoting it back to God. God, I've got a brother with 400 men, and he's coming after me, and the last time I saw him, he swore to kill me. But you said, Lord, you said, I will surely do thee good, make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Wow. Quote it back to God. Take the Bible in your hand, put your finger on a verse, and claim it. Some people don't know they're saved. They can't be sure that they're saved. And yet they've done what they needed to do. They really repented. They really trusted in Christ. They really believed the gospel that came to them. Sometimes I've had to say, look, mark this in your Bible. Dog-ear the page if you have to. Open it up and read it. Make it on a 3x5 card and stick it in your car. Stick it on your refrigerator. I believe this verse and I'm banking what I'm doing on this verse. Believe the book. Amen. The greatest blessing in my life is this book. Wow. I don't know any other place I can get anything. If you saw the debates, I actually watched my first debate this year because I'm a little bit down on my politician friends. They can't do what they say. Just want to let you know. No, you got all these promises last night. Not a single one of them can do what he said he could do last night. And Washington changes most of them instead of them changing Washington. And that song about Davy Crockett says he went up to Washington, straightened everything out, and then took off for the Alamo. No, he didn't. He might have tried. He might have opened his mouth. He might have gave a speech or two. He didn't change anything. And not much is going to change. I hope we get somebody that will. Bless your heart. I don't know which one of them would be the best. I'm going to have to pray about that. Ask God to give us somebody good. All right, look at verse 13. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. Now, man, he is bribing Esau big time. Big time he's giving Esau presents. You're going to find out that Esau's changed too. When we get over there and he presents all these presents, I want you to notice the verse. Esau said, I have enough. Are you that smart? Are you that smart? Esau changed. Esau got some spiritual insight. No telling how God worked on Esau. We don't have his story. But we have that statement. My brother, what are you doing? I'm coming to greet you. I'm not coming to hurt you. I have enough. Have you got enough? Most of us are Americans. We don't ever have enough because there's always a new car coming out. I'm waiting for the one that drives you. You just get in it and say, take me to HEB. And you go, park in the old man's spot. Which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. 200 she-goats. That's worth something. I had a dog that killed 6 lambs and 2 ewes. Cost me about $800. I'd say that's pretty good right there. That was just 6 and 2. 200 ewes and 20 rams. 30 milk camels with their colts. Their nursing camels with their babies. 40 kine. 10 bulls. That's 40 cattle and 10 bulls with them. 20 she-asses and 10 foals. That's a pretty good present. Some of you cowboys and ranchers, you can tell some of the rest of us what they're going for up at Fredericksburg at the auction or someplace out there. That's a little bit of money right there. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, ever drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? And thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, he is behind. Wow. He's actually gotten a whole lot smarter. And he's learned to give presents. Wouldn't hurt you sometime. Wouldn't hurt you. Give of something that you have. Be generous. Don't be an old stingy gut. Don't be somebody that just has to have everything for yourself and looking for the last dime and nickel. And you're not going to live 3 months longer. You want to hoard it all to yourself. Give it away. Give it away. Bless somebody that doesn't have something. Well, and verse 19, and so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed. Now, wait a minute. He's got his family in 2 different camps. Now he's got these messengers, 1, 2, 3, and some following. On this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. Peradventure is sort of an old word. By chance. Just might be. Peradventure. I'm doing everything I can in my power to ease the hate of Esau away from me and my family, my kids, my wives, my stuff. Pretty smart. He's using his head. But I don't have time to go for the rest of this. So I'll start back here next week. But here in the rest of this chapter, you study it out. Take a look at that prayer that he prayed before. And then you study out this little history, this little story, where he wrestles with God. Because after this chapter, Jacob is not the same Jacob. They give him a name change. Call him Israel, a prince of God that has power with God and power with men. He gets changed. Has God ever changed you? Bless your heart. He gets changed.